coming to you live from Flow Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida, and all the way up in the heart of Times Square in New York City. We are keeping you plugged in with episode 282 of F5 Live, Refreshing Technology.
This week, Microsoft brings more life to Skype, Apple actually loses a lawsuit, and Nick's on a TV. Say Nick.
Nick!
It worked, look at that. And the timing is not all that bad.
It's not bad. I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing all right.
So the smell is still in the studio. How about up there in New York?
Looking at my portable studio, the answer... yes, I have the smell here too. You must be talking about the sewage smell. No. You just mean the new tech smell, Scott, because I think this show? This one here? This one right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm on a TV.
What?
And we're here. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. And wherever you may be and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, or other streaming service, thanks for making us part of your day. But of course, there is one place you can go to get all of our content as it happens on your phone, computer, or tablet, and that's by going to F5Live.tv, clicking the subscribe buttons over on the right-hand side. Audio, video, social, and special events there for your media consumption. That's for our zombie listener, right, Scott?
Indeed.
Now, if you want to listen to us live, there's an incentive, too. You can chat with us in the studio every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time by going to F5Live.tv/join us. Scott's doing a chopping motion, I'm sure. Let me look. Go ahead and do the chopping motion.
Oh, awesome. I am.
This is so weird. Can I just clarify what's actually happening in the studios right now?
Yes, please.
So I can't see you at all. I have no idea what's happening over there. All I know is I'm talking to two cameras and I can see myself on my laptop screen. That's all I get. I guess it's more satisfying for you than it is for me right now.
Not by much, because I can only see you in a box on the screen of the camera over there. And an even smaller version on my preview screen here on the computer.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. On the count of three, we're going to exchange looks. All right, I'm going to look at you, and you're going to look at me. And then we can connect there, and then we'll feel better about ourselves. Ready?
Sounds good.
Okay, one, two, three. Okay, that felt good. I really enjoyed that one.
I enjoyed it, too.
All right, we should explain what's happening then. So I'm in New York now for CES Unveiled, which is tomorrow. We will get a closer look at products that are coming out for CES, as well as the Innovations Award Banquet, in which I was a judge. That's really exciting stuff. Tonight, though, we were supposed to be somewhere else. At least I was, right, Scott?
Yes, you were supposed to be with Avram tonight.
Yes, I was. But Avram... I guess because of the storm, you know, bad things happen in threes. So we had the Hurricane Sandy, the Nor'easter Athena, I think the name is. I don't really know. I'm making that up. And so because of those two storms, Avram got appendicitis and came down very sick. So he had it's crazy. He's a resilient person. He had surgery and is coming on the show tonight.
We just can't keep him away is what it really comes down to.
Agreed, because he is the online editorial director for Laptop Magazine, and I think, if I look right over there, I don't know if you see where I'm pointing, but right over there, I can throw a rock at his house, because it's like right there, but he's sick, so, you know, I'm waiting till tomorrow to go see him.
He's always sick, though, so...
Yeah, it's okay. He'll be on the show later on tonight for the Pilch Point in about 20 minutes, but I think let's just jump into the news, right? I mean, there's no time... based here. We're already into the show here, so why not just kick it off, right?
Sounds good. We'll kick it off like this.
This week's news from the tubes on F5 Live is proudly powered by RiffTrex.
Make fun of movies, or let somebody better than you do it. It's the guys who used to do Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they are back doing what they do best, making fun of your favorite movies, and movies that are pretty terrible. From blockbusters to D-, we've got Captain America, The First Avenger, and House on Haunted Hill, which, yikes, and the original Jack the Giant Killer. So for $3 or $4, you download the MP3, play it along with the DVD or your Netflix stream, and laugh.
And laugh.
And laugh. And laugh.
And laugh.
And laugh. Oh, I was hoping.
The delay is killing me.
I was hoping he was going to do it one more time. Anyway, it's worth it. It makes terrible movies watchable and watchable movies even better. And you can get all of those MP3s by going to f5live.tv and clicking the link
in the center.
Boy,
am I right?
No.
Close enough. You're gonna edit this later, right? We're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna edit it later. We're fine. Oh my goodness. This is gonna be an interesting show tonight.
You know, it works. We figured out the format, right, Scott? So we've to, you know, have this interaction, and I think chemistry, I think we'll be okay. Our timing's pretty good so far, so I'm hoping we can just keep that up going forward. And I look to you as you continue this conversation.
Hopefully Skype will keep the connection alive. And we mentioned Skype. It is how we are running Nick back here. And because of that, Microsoft has made an interesting, logical, but a little bit sad of a decision. At the beginning of next year, they will be retiring Windows Live Messenger.
Oh, I shed a tear like this.
Windows Live Messenger, for those of you who don't know, went into service in 1999 as... I made a typo and Nick did not catch it. What was it called? MSN Messenger. It has had several names since then. It's been called Windows Messenger when it was installed with Windows XP. And then it was updated to Windows Live Messenger as they really started to emphasize their Live brand, which is kind of everything. But they bought Skype. And duplicating efforts really didn't make sense. And since Skype is the service that is gaining subscribers, and I did it in more than one place and it's bothering me. So Skype is gaining members and Windows Live Messenger is losing them at an alarming rate. In fact, 48% dropped this year alone. That is not a good sign. So they will be doing away with Windows Live Messenger in favor of Skype. And there's a couple of good reasons for it. I mean, you've got Skype's integration into Facebook. If you do any video calling on Facebook, it is all actually done through Skype. Plus, it's heavily integrated into Windows 8, as you can see to my left, as well as Windows Phone 8. Yes, the lunatic behind me waving is waving via Windows 8 and Skype. And of course, it's heavily integrated into Windows Phone 8. So its path to success seems clear with Skype and not so much with Messenger.
Right. And if you look at it, they spent $8.5 billion on Skype. Is that right, I think?
Wait, what was that number?
$8.5 billion, something like that. What was it?
That's a lot of money. I don't know.
Is that not it?
I don't know.
I thought that's what they paid for when we covered the topic a long time ago. But yeah, either way, they spent, a lot of money on.
Yes, that was correct. 8.5. That's a lot of money.
Right. And so we assumed back then that they do something with the brand, and we saw it in Windows 8, like you said. So it only makes sense to be able to fully transition into a more popular, a more fully fledged and capable platform. As you can see, we're using it now. We're actually having pretty good luck with it. And I don't think we'd have the same results on like the Kinect Messenger or the Windows Live Messenger or whatever you want to call it today.
Right. And it's interesting you say that. My guess is the next move for Skype will be to show up on the Xbox, because it's the only major platform that it's missing from, including Android and iOS.
Right.
So with MSN, I'm sorry, Windows Live Messenger being retired, they're going to have to replace it on the Xbox with something, and Skype obviously is the natural transition for it.
I think it has to be. When you have people that use Skype so much, and with Xbox and Microsoft saying this is the center of the family's entertainment, the Kinect Messenger, the Windows Live for Xbox Messenger, just seemed so rushed. It didn't seem like they thought it out, and it was an afterthought, because there's not much you can really do with it. And when you finally get it working, sometimes the quality really isn't that great, when the Kinect camera is actually quite nice. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Skype show up in a live tile on Xbox, on the dashboard. It'll be a quite refreshing experience, especially when people like me are communicating with my family that are 2,000 miles away once a week. It just wasn't nice on the Xbox.
Right. And if they're able to make the Xbox version of Skype work as well as the Windows 8 version of Skype does, I will be happy, because it is really a pleasant experience. The whole setup for the show today was very pleasant, and this whole thing next to me is working really well.
I'm doing it right. I mean, everything's working pretty much not too bad. I didn't see you guys set it up, but testing it pre-show, it seems to work out okay, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, trying to do this with Windows Live Messenger, wouldn't have happened. I would not necessarily be able to tell that there was a face on the screen next to me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'd get the Kinect up, and I'd talk to my, and she'd have to first not be able to use, which was a pain in the butt for her because she's not very tech savvy. And then you have the camera sometimes just loses focus, like it forgets what the purpose of the app was, and it's trying to do Kinect things when I just needed to do video chat. So it seems like just rushed, and I didn't like it.
It's very possible that it was rushed. I think they were trying to get some life back into Messenger, because like I said, in 2012 alone, even with the new integration into the Xbox, they saw a 48% decrease in usage in the United States. That is not a good number.
No, not at all. Definitely not.
So it makes sense to dump the brand. It's a little sad. I mean, 1999, that's before most people knew the internet was a thing. So it's sad when a brand that has been around so long does die. But we see it happen all the time. I mean, Palm was around from, it seems like, the 70s. And
yeah.
And they fell from grace pretty quickly. And Messenger seems to have done the same, just not able to market itself the way it needed to. So, goodbye, Windows Live Messenger, MSN Messenger, Windows Messenger, whatever you want to call it. Hello, Skype. The good news is Microsoft will give you an easy transition point from Messenger to Skype. When you first launch Skype, versions 6 and above, including the Windows 8 and the Windows Phone 8 versions, it will ask you, do you want to sign in with Skype or do you want to sign in with a Microsoft account? If you sign in with a Microsoft account, it will automatically bring all of your contacts into Skype. I have already done it myself. And for as long as Messenger continues to exist, you will be able to communicate cross-platform from the Skype applications to Windows Live Messenger contacts and Skype contacts, whether or not they've upgraded.
Right.
And it's important to note that in China, it will not be going anywhere. Don't know why. Don't particularly care. All I know is Windows Live Messenger will continue to operate in China. I assume Skype is not allowed. I don't know.
Neither is Google from time to time. So
twice this week. Poor Google. Speaking of companies that have had a rough week.
This week's Nifty Gifties on F5 Live. Hey, they are nifty.
They're Nifty Gifties.
Probably powered by SMS Audio in the Street 550 limited edition over-ear wired headphones. Look, I know you've been getting tired of me telling you that the white, silver obsidian, and black were the only sexy styles that SMS Audio has. I have good news for you. For a limited time only, you can get four new colors of the wired headphones, the SMS 550s. The magenta, blue, violet, red, and yellow. The yellow one looks nice.
Yes, it does.
Say that. So don't take my word for it. Go find out yourself. Get them now before they're gone at f5live.tv. Click on the link.
In the center.
Just like that. Am I getting closer? I don't know.
To the camera? Yes.
To the center. Like, am I getting...
Oh, I don't know. I'm having to deal with other things tonight. I can't focus on you losing your mind.
Fair enough. I'm just going to keep pointing.
All right. I'm fine with that.
All right.
So, I mentioned companies that are having a little bit of trouble this week. Apple is one of those companies. They actually lost a lawsuit this week. They have had a pretty good success rate on winning lawsuits, whether or not it was merited. But this week they lost, and they lost pretty good. $368 million, in fact, to a company called Vernet X. I don't know. They're not really a company that does anything, from what I can tell. They seem to be a patent-holding company. I'm not sure. What I can tell you is they own some patents regarding domain name security and virtual private networking that they claimed Apple violated in FaceTime. And apparently the judge and the jury agreed, and Apple will have to fork over $368 billion. But that's not all. There's more. The same day as the win, the company filed an amended suit against Apple. Same patents, new devices. They brought in all of the newly released devices, the iPhone 5, the 5th gen iPod Touch, the iPad Mini, the 4th gen iPad, as well as all Mountain Lion powered Macs. So that adds another three or four items in there. Nothing. I even gave you a second to respond.
I know, it's all good. I'm listening attentively, and I was looking at you and nodding in agreement.
Normally, when I make mention of there only being three or four Macs out there, I get a response from you, but nothing.
Oh,
that wasn't a good response.
The problem is, I'm in this virtual reality world right now, okay, and I see so many of the Apple logos just surrounding me right now. Like when I was just down, 12 floors below me here in New York, and I don't think this is real. And I'm having a hard time discerning reality from fake reality. So it's just a difficult time for me right now. I'm struggling mentally and internally.
Okay, well, they are as well. So you're in good hands, or good company, not good hands. That's Allstate, I think.
indeed it is.
Anyway,
friend of the show.
Anyway, minus the three or four Macs, the iPhones and the iPads are a lot more devices to be added into the lawsuit. And considering Apple has already lost on this patent suit, adding new devices in seems like a slam dunk case for the company. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is actually pretty awesome, considering that Samsung is already putting it to Apple right now with their whole failed apology thing this week, which is absolutely hysterical. I think this whole $368 million lawsuit is epic for us, like, as consumers of real technology, not virtual technology. I think this is a fantastic thing, and kudos to Vernet for having just a patent company, right? That's kind of okay with me, at least if it's against Apple.
Yeah, that's good enough for me. So yeah, this isn't the first time this company has sued a large company. They've actually got licensing deals with four companies, including NEC and Microsoft. The Microsoft licensing deal is following a $200 million loss for Microsoft as well in a trial. And they've also had lawsuits against Cisco and Siemens, who is currently planning for their suit in March.
These people are making some money.
It would certainly seem that way. If I were Siemens right now, I would be trying to work out some sort of a licensing deal with them now before the trial happens, because it seems pretty clear that they're going to lose. And it's cheaper to not lose and work out the licensing deal than to lose and have to work out a licensing deal. That's not better.
Or at least agree that all of their security devices get the Vernet X. I hate the name. It doesn't really work for me. Vernet X logo on all of their things. And it has like a, instead of an apple, it's just like a big X where the apple would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that's going to happen. So long as it can be the Mac OS X, I think they'll be fine.
There you go. Perfect. And then Apple will sue them, and then we'll go round and round.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
I'm in agreement with you. Let's make this happen.
All right.
Where are they located? Are they here? Because I'll go tell them.
I don't know. We'll figure it out after the show. We'll go give them a suggestion. All right. And I think on that note, the music has started, and we will try very hard to bring one more person into this conversation. Oh, timing's gonna be fun here in a minute. Because it's the Pilch Point with online editorial director of Laptop Magazine, Avram Pilch. This segment is proudly powered by the Tech Podcast Network. Avram, are you there?
Yes!
Awesome.
Yes!
I couldn't do it too loud or I'd bust a stitch.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen for sure.
And not till next week.
So,
hi, Avram.
Hey.
How are you feeling, buddy?
Not bad. I feel really terrible that I wasn't able to arrange for Nick and I to do the show together like we had planned, and we were going to do it in the laptop office, and I was going to get it all arranged on Tuesday. And Monday night, I came home and I had a bad stomach ache. And I was like, oh, you know, I must have eaten too much of the free pizza they give us on Mondays. But it just got worse and worse. And Wednesday, I went to the doctor. And he's like, you know, maybe you should go to the ER because you might have appendicitis. And I went to the ER and I couldn't believe it. But in fact, I did have appendicitis. And then I had to have a little surgery. You know, it really wasn't bad, except being in the hospital. I've never been in the hospital overnight before, or I've never been admitted to a hospital before, so that was kind of unpleasant, to say the least, and there's certainly some technology lessons there. But anyway, that's why I unfortunately was not able to go back to work and arrange that, and then I'm not leaving the house. I haven't left the house since I came home, and I'll be almost certainly getting into work tomorrow, but so I'm feeling better, but still not 100%.
Well, that's good. Well, before we get into it, go ahead and give them your contact information once.
So I am the online editorial director for the still in business, or at least I think it is. I'll find out tomorrow. Laptop Magazine. You can follow me on Twitter @GeekInChief. Read all my weekly columns at laptopmag.com/geeksgeek, and keep up with all of our news at laptopmag.com.
Excellent.
So, Abram, I have discovered something in my trip out here. So I was in the mountains, in the Ramapo Mountains earlier today in New Jersey, which is just a really small mountain range with really high peaks. And they're crazy up there. They put houses on these peaks. And when they do that, you are above cell phone coverage. It's the weirdest thing. I've discovered that my battery coming into the hotel tonight was dead. And I want more battery life. Luckily, you have this information to me as I probably look over outside my window and watch you talk about what you're about to talk about.
I'll stick my head out the window, but I would, except I'd have to bend a little too much. But yeah, you know, it's really important to have long battery life. We talk about this all the time, and I found another example of it this week, one that we probably don't think about a lot, using your phone in the emergency room, for example. You might think, like, are you going to use your phone in the emergency room? Yeah, you really need a phone when you're in the emergency room. For listeners who haven't been in the emergency room before, you think that people are just constantly attending to you and the doctors are just hovering over you, and who would have time to use your phone? Well, unless you're in immediate cardiac arrest, you're going to be sitting around for a very long time in the emergency room, probably with no one to talk to and nothing to do, staring at the ceiling or staring at other sick people, waiting for someone to come do something to you or the results of some test. I mean, I went into the emergency room to get checked out at like 1:30 p.m. and, you know, I didn't get moved to the OR until like 8:30 p.m. And a lot of that time I was sitting on a, you know, bed in the middle of the hall. So I wasn't even allowed to get up to go use the bathroom. So my phone was my lifeline to even communicate with my wife, who is in the waiting room. So it's obviously battery life matters in a lot of situations. You use up battery life when you're in an area where you have a poor signal. So you want to try and get the phone with the longest battery life possible, because even with external chargers and whatever, listen, a lot of times it's just hard to carry that stuff with you, particularly when you're on a gurney. So what we found in our tests is there are a lot of Android phones that do really quite well on battery tests because they have very large capacity batteries. The number one phone right now for us is the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. The AT&T version of this phone, although it's available, I think, on pretty much all the major carriers, it got 9 hours and 27 minutes of battery life on our laptop battery test, which involves continuous web surfing over 4G. However, if you're sitting there and you're not continuously surfing, and maybe you've turned the brightness down to zero instead of having it at 40% like we do, you might even squeeze quite a bit more than that out of it. And that would certainly be very helpful if you're somewhere where you can't just charge your phone. Another phone that I think is an awesome phone, because I've checked it out and I have sort of the baby brother version of this phone, is the Droid Razr Max HD. This phone has an HD screen. It's got a really nice version of Android, just got the Jelly Bean update, I believe, runs on Verizon's LTE network, gets 8 hours and 13 minutes of continuous use for a 4.7-inch screen phone. That's really, really good, second best in our tests. The LG Optimus L9 on T-Mobile, for those who are committed to T-Mobile, gets 7 hours and 20 minutes. By the way, if you're an iPhone 5 fan, heaven forfend, that phone in our tests got about 7 hours and 20 minutes also when we were using it on Verizon. Similarly, the Samsung Galaxy S Blaze 4G got 7 hours and 11 minutes. The Galaxy S3 with its default battery got 6 hours and 55, although you can substitute a high-capacity battery. After that, you've got a bunch of phones that are under the 7-hour mark, such as the ZTE Fury, Samsung Rugby Smart, T-Mobile MyTouch, and HTC One X, which is actually below 6 hours. Clearly, if you can get a phone that is above 7 hours or close to 7 hours, you want to do it. I'm still really quite pleased with my Droid Razer M, but that only gets 6 hours and 54 minutes, and I have to tell you, it died on me, or came within, you know, about 5% of dying on me in the emergency room. So I really wished I had something that got even longer battery life. Of course, it wasn't 100% when I got there, but you just never know when you're going to be in one of those situations where you don't have the opportunity to recharge.
Unless, of course, you have your little pebble with you.
Yeah, the problem is the pebble that I like is not little, right? So it's, you know, it's about a pound. So it is certainly helpful for phones to perhaps have something a little more portable that you can keep in your pocket. But on a typical day, I'm not expecting, and maybe that's the issue, right? I'm not expecting to have to use an external charger. I go to work. I plug in over there sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I come home from work. I plug in when I get home. So depending on the lifestyle that you lead, you may not find it worthwhile to carry a charger with you, and it's just so easy to forget, you know, particularly if you don't carry, you know, a man bag with you or anything. It can be, or a woman bag, it can be too easy to forget your charger. So certainly the higher capacity you can have in the phone itself, the more it helps. Clearly, though, if you can remember to bring a little charger with you, every little bit of juice counts. Of course, there's also that need to be discreet, right? Like, I wasn't really sure whether I was allowed to use the phone in the emergency room. Well, I get a feeling I was, because everyone else was doing it. So the nice thing about a phone is you can kind of be more stealth about it than if you're whipping out all kinds of giant batteries.
Very true. Right.
I got a question. So you listed all of those phones, and obviously tablets too, but out of the phones, which ones have user removable batteries and which ones don't? Is there more one way or the other?
Yeah, you know, the trend is toward not removable, which is very sad. Samsung seems to be one of the better companies in terms of allowing you to remove the battery. HTC and Motorola totally now opposed to removable batteries. You can remove the battery on the Galaxy S3, which is a very, very popular phone that a lot of people like. Although the default battery doesn't get super battery life, you can get all kinds of third-party or even first-party extended batteries for that, and I would highly recommend it. The Galaxy Note 2, I believe, has a removable battery, so I don't know if anyone's come out with an extended battery that would get you over that 9 hours and 27 minutes, which in itself sounds pretty good, but you can just never have enough. But I think that Samsung's general philosophy is you should be able to remove your battery, whereas a lot of the other companies don't really feel that way, which is a big shame, because, you know, if you can remove the battery, you can get a bigger one, or you could much more easily pocket a replacement.
So there is an extended battery available for the Galaxy Note 2 that's 3,200 milliamps.
Oh, why not? Although, no, wait a second, though. It's 3,100 milliamps for the original one.
Is it?
Note 2, yeah. So that just sounds like a replacement, because it's only within, what's 100 milliamp hours between friends?
Yeah.
But, you know, what you'd really want there, and it needs that big of a battery, because this thing's got a 5.5-inch screen. I mean, holy cow, you're going to need to start to buy something with bigger pocket, clothes with bigger pockets to hold it. But if you want something with a screen that big, it really does not hurt the battery life. I mean, you're getting, because they have to give you such a whopping battery to power that screen and to power the stylus and all, you know, the stylus response and all that, they're really giving you solid battery life. And of course, you know, when you come into that situation, you want to conserve. So, for example, Nick, when you saw that you're going to a place with no cell phone coverage, what I would do, although it's tempting not to, is just go into airplane mode while I'm in there, because then I know that it's not going to keep searching for a signal. That's one of the biggest problems, is if you're in an area with weak coverage, you lose battery much more quickly because your phone's trying to get whatever weak signal it can.
Yeah, I noticed that I was full bars going into it, and then I was only there for like 6 hours, and by the end of it, the battery was just done. I was like, oh man, I should have put it on airplane mode or told it to not go searching for signal.
Someone should actually come up with a an app to do that. That doesn't that sound like a good idea for the different platforms? Like, look, if where you can sort of set it, like, look, if I'm at only one bar and I'm at one bar for X amount of time, stop trying for a while. Like, just go into airplane mode automatically for an hour and then go out again and see how it is or whatever, because that seems to be one of the biggest battery life killers around is if you're in an area with poor coverage, you don't realize it, and before you know it, your phone is eating up its battery trying to get the meager signal that's available.
Yeah, Scott remembers being some place. We were doing a gig and we had to go downstairs into one of the comedy halls, and within 3 hours both of our batteries were dead.
Oh yes, that was terrible.
It was like we were behind some sort of steel wall or steel plate and we just could not escape.
It's a real problem, and you know, I wish the phones were smarter about it and knew how to handle it better, because they will just try to keep squeezing signal for you no matter what the cost to your battery, and that is definitely a huge issue. I wonder if there's something out there that will deal with that. Certainly, you know, just as a footnote, in the tablet space, you know, of course most people are probably buying tablets without 3G. They maybe tether them to their phone, but in the tablet space, a lot of these mini tablets now will give you a lot of juice for a very low price. So the amount of juice that you actually get from a slate is a lot better. So as we saw with the Microsoft Surface, getting about 7.5 hours, the iPads, the full size iPads get 9 to 10 hours. The new iPad Mini gets 10.5 hours. The Kindle Fire gets 7.5. The Google Nexus 7 gets 7.5, and the Barnes & Noble Nook HD gets 8.5. So, in fact, the average for all tablets that we've tested at Laptop is 6 hours and 58 minutes. So, clearly, you get more juice out of a tablet than you do out of a phone, but that's probably because you're also, you know, not counting on, we're not testing it with connectivity, and I think a lot of people aren't buying their tablet with mobile connectivity in mind.
I think, at least to your point, Abram, I think what we're trying to say is if you're looking to extend your battery life and you end up in the hospital randomly, I think with the amount of money we put into hospitals, they should at least have a micro and a mini charging port attached to the bed. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with that. They should also not ask you to take away your phone when you go in for surgery.
Or your glasses, right?
Yeah, I think that is the most troubling part is, you know, and look, here's just my advice to anyone who thinks they might end up in a surgery. They're going to ask you to give up all of your possessions, including your underwear, before you go under the knife. And then when you come out, like, you're in the recovery room or whatever, and you don't have this stuff, hopefully you can have a relative or whatever come right in and give it to you or whatever, because in my case I couldn't because it was a snowstorm and my wife was at home or whatever with my stuff, which you took back. That could be like the hardest thing, whether you're a geek or not, being completely disconnected while you're kind of sitting there in the bed with all these tubes attached to you, and you're like, where's my email? Maybe somebody liked something I put on Facebook. I don't even know what it is. I don't have a watch. So, you know, it's definitely like a radical disconnection. And so obviously having a good battery life helps, and having somebody to kind of run your gadgets back to you if you're taken into surgery where they ask you to give your stuff to a relative or to security, but they actually recommend give it to a relative because you can't count as much on security. So you want to make sure that you get your gadgets back as fast as possible.
Come on, Abram. Hospital security is just as good as TSA, right? Oh, wait. Ugh.
I felt like the hospital was going to stay security for 24 hours.
What?
You know, it was like, you have to take everything off, you can't do anything, kind of have to sit there and wait for a long time. It was sort of like going through airport security. Oh, and everyone's pawing at you. It's the same thing.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for the comparison, Abram.
just think about it. I mean, next time you go through the security line, it's sort of like, look, this is my 5 minutes of like hospital. Well, actually, however many minutes you waited in line should count to of being in the hospital.
Fair enough.
All right, so Abram, before we let you go, you got any idea what next week's going to hold, or we holding off on that?
Well, hopefully I won't have to give up any other major organs, and we expect to see a lot of cool new products coming through. Obviously, a nice round of Windows 8 notebooks are coming into our office now. I can't wait to get into going to work tomorrow and check them out. I know we have some really cool stuff in there, like the IdeaPad Yoga that we can go and check out. Some new touchscreen devices, things that are going to take advantage of all Microsoft has to offer. We do expect to see some more things happening with Windows Phone 8. We understand that there's going to be some kind of, I believe there's going to be some kind of event with HTC and Verizon coming up soon, or something to that effect. So there's just a lot of stuff going on with Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. And as far as all the other players, I think we've sort of seen their new products for the fall season. I don't think we're going to see any new Google products or new Apple products coming anytime soon.
That sounds reasonable. So if you're right this week, it's going to be review stuff? Or you thinking there's going to be a list, things to watch out for in the hospital?
Any lists in mind, either ways to stay connected while you're on the gurney, we have a number of lists kind of floating out there. Most overpriced gadgets, biggest ripoffs of the fall, some consumer buying advice, because we're coming into the shopping season, I think is going to be important for me this week.
Sure, sounds good. Well, we look forward to hearing whatever you come up with this week. Give them your contacts one more time, Abram.
So you can follow me on Twitter at GeekInChief, read my columns at laptopmag.com/geeksgeek, and keep up all the news at laptopmag.com.
Well, as
Abram,
always,
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, and I'll see Nick tomorrow at my office.
Well, that's exciting. As always, it was good talking to you. We'll talk to you next week, and feel better.
Thanks. See you guys later.
Glad he's better, or doing better.
Certainly getting there, that's the important part.
Hey, well enough to come on the show, or at least he, you know, took enough painkillers to get through it.
I think most of the time he has to take some painkillers to get through it.
He enjoys it.
Yeah, I know he does.
Right?
Yeah, I hope so. He's been...
Maybe. Does he? I don't know.
Been doing it for a year. I can't imagine he would still be doing it if that weren't the case.
He's in it for the money.
It's got to be that.
This week's Extra Life on F5 Live is proudly powered by the Microsoft Store. Now with more ways to play and play and play. Get an Xbox holiday bundle with bonus games and a one-month trial of Hulu Plus and FX for a limited time. So, shop now. If you're a student, small business, or developer.
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 Go to the Microsoft Store right now by going to f5live.tv and clicking that link.
In the center.
Right there. I don't know where it is.
That is actually my favorite part. Is even more than usual, you have no idea where it is.
I've been getting better the past couple of weeks. I thought I was doing really well in identifying the invisible location that you have selected for me. And now this week just threw me into a circle. I'm on the other side, and I'm on a screen without seeing anything. So
I love the
It's just like, it's like Plinko for me, yeah.
I love the other side problem. Switching seats is wonderful for me.
I've been trying to keep it interactive by just occasionally glancing at you and nodding and agreeing.
Oh, I know. I can see you. I've actually discovered that the reflection on the rim of the monitor in front of me is better than looking up at the camera. So I've been watching you through that.
Great. I mean, I'm doing pretty good then. I think we're keeping this thing going.
Yes, I think you're right. I'm not going to look at you, though. Well, I am. I'm looking at you in the rim of the...
Now you're ruining the experience, Scott.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see some of this video.
I'm excited. I can't even begin to tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. Anyway, so moving into some gaming news. Not entirely... I mean, totally a gaming story, but not entirely. Some Navy SEALs were reprimanded for giving away some classified information. Oops.
Okay, this is just absolutely crazy. Reading the news and then reading your article on it, I can't even believe it happened, right?
I can, a little bit.
Go on. Let me hear your side of this.
Okay. So, we all remember Medal of Honor Warfighter from E3. It was the new EA title where they were making a big deal that there were 12 elite squadrons from 10 countries that were all playable, and it was supposed to be this really realistic game, right? Well, it came out, and it turns out maybe just a little too realistic. They interviewed 11 Navy SEALs in addition to people from the other 11 elite squadrons around the world. And apparently the SEALs were excited about being interviewed by EA for this and started to talk a little more than they probably should. In fact, they talked about and showed off weapons that are unique to their unit. Oops. And gave some other classified information. We don't know exactly how much made it into the game, but based on the fact that the game came out in October, it's the beginning of November, and this stuff is starting to happen, my guess is enough. Enough that it was obvious to somebody higher up who played the game and went, hey, I recognize, wait a minute, I recognize that. That's a real thing. Nobody is supposed to know about that weapon.
Okay, so, like, breaking it down just a little bit to our level, when we go out and, like, we're with our, you know, our production people or our interns, whatever the case may be, and they interact with people, and then that other person goes, hey, so tell me more about this aspect of your company, and it's something sensitive, they go, hey, you got to talk to the bosses first before you can, you know, I'm not going to answer that question for you. Yes. Don't you think that maybe the SEALs, I don't know, like, why didn't EA contact the Navy? Or if they did, why? You know, it just, something's not making sense here.
The Navy was contacted and did approve these 11 to speak with EA. They just didn't approve them to talk about classified material. As the name would suggest, it's classified, and therefore you can't talk to anybody about it.
Because if it's in the game, it's in the game.
And these guys are the best of the best. You would think that training alone should have been enough for them to go, weapons that are just ours, we're going to shut up.
Yeah, we're not going to, you know, worry about not disclosing our secret tactics on how we just took out the recent target we took out. We're going to tell you. No problem. It's fine.
Yeppers. So, that's a problem.
Yeah, a little bit.
They have, the 7 have already been reprimanded. 4 are still being investigated. The 7 that have been reprimanded have received actual official letters of reprimand, which guarantees no more promotions for them, as well as being docked 2 months' pay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. And these, okay, so they are the best of the best. They're the squadron that everybody knows. total from all of the U.S. military, you've got the Green Berets and you've got the SEALs. And that's it. That's it. Nobody knows anybody else. So they are the best of the best. And they apparently weren't trained on how to deal with a video game company. That seems like a problem.
You'd think the best of the best would have a PR person.
Indeed. Who's sitting there with them?
Punching them in the head every time they say something stupid.
Yeah,
right?
When they say something stupid, they get hurt.
With the weapon that they talked about.
There you go. Because EA knows about it now, so what's it matter?
Problem solved.
It just, the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
I don't understand how the scenario happened. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out, and I just can't wrap my head around it.
There should have been somebody higher up sitting there with them making sure this didn't happen. And yet, here we are. So, I don't know.
I blame the government.
All in. So, well, of course. What a silly thing to say. So, it is technically a breach of national security. They have received letters of reprimand and been docked 2 months' pay. Nobody above them has been reprimanded for letting it happen. Do you think right. justice has been served, or do you think this was a PR move, slap on the wrist type scenario?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's like since the information got out, okay, so obviously we have to take action. But we've spent $85 million training these people, and my phone is going off, and I can't figure out why. Sorry about that.
Quite a close-up of your face.
You know,
$85
million training these people, and you really can't just fire them. Right? Like,
true. Because the last thing you need is an ex-Navy SEAL who is mad at the government. If they did this while they were happy with their employers, what are they going to pull if they're not?
Right. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. So I think they had to serve punishment so they won't get promoted, I think is what I'm understanding from the reprimand, right?
Yes.
So that is enough of an insult to the SEALs, I think, because they think different, right? They think differently, right? So doing that to them means a lot, I think.
Yes. But do you think it's right that nobody above them has been reprimanded?
Absolutely not. No, no. Someone else has to go down for this because someone said, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's go ahead and let them talk about whatever. They're SEALs, and they're very talented at what they do. Like you said, they're the best of the best. And they're very skilled, and they're proud of it, right? Naturally. I can understand that. So you can't let those type of people just run off and say whatever they want. That's why you kick me and we go into meetings together.
It's true. I'm totally with you. I think something more needs to be done, but I think the SEALs themselves have been dealt with appropriately.
Agreed.
I think that's the important part.
Right. Rounding out the show, this week's DRM not included on F5 Live is proudly powered by Sirius XM Satellite Radio.
Every kickoff, every call, hear it all. $20 to $80 off on radios for the home, the vehicle, and on the go. Because you never know where you'll want to catch the big game. Nothing? Something about
the Mega Cup?
There we go. Plus, free ground shipping on orders of $49 or more, and we all know the best way to get to $49 is through the outlet.
It's absolutely true. Now, I was lucky this week. I got to see my Giants get slaughtered on TV here in New York. It was painful, but not everyone's that lucky. You may be elsewhere, and your home team is not where you are currently. So, the outlet can save you some money and listen to the game with the XM Express RCI and vehicle kit. It's reconditioned, which only means someone got outsmarted by it and sent it in with the plastic still on it. Normally it's $170. You can get it today for $49.99 and take advantage of that offer. And you can do that. I just want to let you know by going to F5 Live, clicking the link
in the center.
The best radio on radio.
except for us.
Yeah, and I'm on Skype, so that's different.
That's true. You are on Skype. Very good, Nick. I'm proud of you.
I finally got that.
I would like to point out that my my script here says $20 to $80 off on radios for the home, the vehicle, and on the go.
Excellent. Perfect.
So if you're wondering why I hiccuped a little bit there, that is why.
So, I'm not your copy editor tonight. It's not my fault. That's I blame true. The government.
Fair enough. So our final topic tonight is one that Nick is always excited to talk about. Spotify.
Yay.
And this week, they are looking for some money.
Right. We've talked about it in the past. They've had a lot of troubles trying to secure the amount of subscribers they need to sustain themselves here in the States.
Yes, they have. They currently have 15 million active subscribers in 15 countries, and they are getting better. They've got about a 20% conversion rate, which is better than it used to be. I very clearly remember, like, 10 or 11%.
Right.
Which was scary. So they're up to 20%. And they do plan on having somewhere around $900 million in revenue this year between advertising revenue and, of course, paid subscriptions. But they want to do some new cool things with the platform because they do have to compete with the likes of Xbox Music, Apple's coming radio service, Radio without an A, Pandora, Last FM. There's a lot of services out there that they have to compete with. This marketplace is starting to get pretty crowded, so they've got to differentiate themselves. And the best way to do that is with money. They've got to have it to make it happen, and so they are out looking for funding. They have currently raised about $100 million in this funding round, which officially puts their valuation somewhere at about $1 billion. It's better than the last valuation we saw for them, but
right.
It's still not Square, which is valued at $3 billion, which sure seems to me to be a more niche market than Spotify is. But they're also competing in a marketplace that only seems to have Intuit as a competitor and not what we see here, where everybody, including Microsoft and Apple, have competing products.
Right. You do have a lot of competition and a lot of, I think it's almost oversaturation in the market. So Spotify tries to differentiate themselves, and they do it in a number of ways. They have this app platform that I haven't really seen on any other music streaming service, and I think that's their uniqueness. The problem is not a lot of people know about Spotify in general. Like, it's not enough, there's not enough exposure to the product to justify the ends, kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So this round of funding might give them enough to even do some advertising. I haven't seen one true Spotify ad, and you see iTunes ads all the time, and you see Pandora ads on the internet all the time. You just don't see anything for Spotify, and it begs the question, do they not have enough funding to justify the advertising? And if they don't, this might help.
Well, they have managed to get to 15 million subscribers sans any advertising. We talk about them
right
from time to time, and they do have that whole built-in viral thing through the Facebook integration, where I get emails every couple days, hey, Lloyd has joined Spotify, or Nick has joined Spotify. So they're doing a pretty good job with the social aspect of it, growing organically. But yes, I would imagine that advertisements are the next phase here.
Yeah, because they need that push, right? So now you have these 15, maybe 25 million after they're done of organic growth from people who are like, wow, this service is really great, or developers like us who are like, wow, we can do a lot with this platform. But you don't have the average casual user who's just on it and, you know, doesn't really – they know where else to look, but they go there because – they seem to gravitate towards it for a reason. I don't think they've seen that gravitation or that shift from iTunes or that shift from Pandora as much as they would have hoped so far.
Yeah, it's been a lot of new people to the marketplace that have gone there. Of course, you and I switched over from Pandora and Last.fm a year plus ago now.
Yeah, as soon as we could, right?
Yeah, as soon as, like, the day it was available in the U.S., we totally abandoned the other guys. But, I mean, now they've got Xbox Music to compete with, which is going to be a bit of a problem for them because it's Xbox. It's a big brand name. Everybody knows. It's available on the Xbox. It's available on Windows 8. It's available on Windows Phone 8 just out of the box.
Right.
Whereas Spotify, you have to know about.
Yeah, you have to go seek them out. And I think that's kind of their down, not really the downfall, but their problem they have to overcome. They're hugely popular in the EU and over in Europe, but who cares about Europe? So they have to bring the problem, solve the problem here in the States. They have to get more than just 15 million people when there's, what, 300 million people in the United States.
In the Iraqs and such as.
What was that? I'm sorry?
In the Iraqs and such as. But truly, she's an intelligent individual. Yeah, 15 million users worldwide, where there's 360 million in the U.S. alone. Although, if all of those were U.S.-based, that's a 5% market share. That's not bad, but they're not all U.S.-based. They're mostly not. So, right. Yes. They've certainly got some stuff to overcome, but $100 million in fresh cash is probably a good way to start.
And they have a business model.
They do, which does put them a step above Twitter.
You got to give them credit, a couple of steps, right?
Well, they have a business model. That alone puts them a step above Twitter.
By default.
Yes. Business model. Oh, who needs one of those?
Who needs that? That's our show.
Indeed it is.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Many thanks to Avram Pilch from Laptop Magazine. We wish him well, and it really does take a lot to get out of bed 2 days after surgery. So kudos and thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate him being on the show tonight. It's dedication.
Yeah, right. Hard work and dedication. We also want to point out, and I want to make sure I say this, a lot of work goes on behind the scenes to get the show ready, and some weeks require more work than others. We definitely want to go out and thank Carla. She was a huge beneficial help today to get this show.
This show?
This show right here up and running. So many thanks to her. Her work sometimes goes unnoticed, and we want to make sure we point it out when it's fantastic. So thank you. I want to thank you.
Golf right? Clap. Golf clap. He is still going. Look at that.
It's like a hole in one. It's crazy.
Oh, and you guys can now hear Carla.
Tomorrow, CES unveiled. Make sure you are tuned in to not only F5Live.tv for continuing coverage, and make sure you subscribe on the right-hand side, audio, video, social, and special events, and that's the key, but also at TPN.tv because we are kicking off our CES coverage tomorrow. We will start bringing news as soon as we can, and we're looking forward to that, right?
Yes, we are.
I'm excited.
It's just like Christmas. CES seems to start earlier and earlier every year for us.
Yeah, and the music doesn't get any better.
What?
The music doesn't get any better? I don't know. Leave it alone.
Like Christmas? I got it.
Oh, my goodness. So, Scott, did it work out for you? I mean, was it good?
This worked out just fine, actually. And now that we've got the whole thing started to be set up properly, we'll be able to put Avram on this screen here soon.
Oh, I'm pointing backwards, but it's actually just pointing to me. So I'm just going to point this way, like right here where I'm at.
Yes, right here. We'll be able to put Avram there soon. Obviously not immediately post-surgery, because that would be problematic, but...
It'll be a much better picture, I think.
Carla
having me on it.
Carla is nodding. Right after you said something nice about her, too. You know that?
Can you mute her? Is that possible? Can we do that?
I can turn you off.
I'm muting her in my brain. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, my goodness. No, this worked out great. I actually had a really good time. I imagined you right here in the webcam hole. I was just picturing your face. It was good. I just stared at you.
I don't think I know what to do with that information. So, I believe on that note.
Yeah, let's get out of here. We'll see you guys next week. On behalf of the staff that's not here, I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
It was weird. You were first. You're supposed to say it first.
No, I'm not.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week. Peace and chicken grease.
Ciao. I don't know what to do with you sometimes.
Me neither. I'm just posed like this.
You're very silly. Are you a poser? Is that what you're saying?